causes the devotional to go right along with the lesson so often, and this is no exception today. Thank you, John. Turn with me to Exodus, if you would, please, to the book of Exodus, in chapter 13. And it's been a little while since we've looked at Exodus. Well, let's pick up where we left off in chapter 13. In the first 16 verses, we saw how the Lord gave an order to Moses to tell the Israelites that they were to sanctify, or to set apart, all the firstborn males of both man and beast. All the firstborn sons among the Israelites were to be redeemed by the blood of a lamb. And all the firstborn males from among the clean beasts, such as lambs and goats, were to be sacrificed for that purpose, and the unclean beasts, such as pigs and donkeys and other animals like that, were to be redeemed also by the blood of a lamb. And all that points to our God's distinguishing grace in redeeming a particular people. You'll recall how the Lord brought the Israelites out of their bondage in Egypt by bringing 10 plagues on the land of Egypt. And how all of that points to the fact that our God saves whom He will. Our God is too holy to look upon sin. And the whole human race is born in this world in bondage to sin and in bondage to Satan, hating God and despising His Son, saying, "We will not have that man to rule over us." And ever since the first man rebelled against God, this world has been under God's curse. And the only salvation there is from God's wrath against sin is found in His Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lamb that was slain on Calvary's cross. And so God established these types and ceremonies of the Old Testament to point us to Christ. Christ is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. It says in verse 3, "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." And he goes on to give the commandment of God to observe the Passover feast and the feast of the unleavened bread. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ saved us from bondage in spiritual Egypt, just as he delivered those Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And just as that Passover lamb was sacrificed, and the flesh of that lamb was roasted in the fire, and the flesh was eaten by those Israelites, and the blood of that lamb was applied to the doors of their houses. And when our God saw the blood, when God saw that blood, He, according to His promise, in mercy, He passed over them. But He slew all the firstborn males among all of those Egyptians. And all that points to the fact that our God has passed over us, brethren. When our Lord Jesus died in our room, in our stead, the judgment of God fell on Him, and He was condemned because He was made sin for us. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our Lord was made sin for us. He bore all our sins in His own body on that cursed tree. And the justice and wrath of our God against sin fell on Him and killed Him so that we might live. But after our Lord died and was buried, He arose from that grave without sin. And He ascended to heaven to sit on His throne in the presence of God. And when He did that, all of His chosen people rose with Him, and we are seated with Him right now. And so we are to remember what He's done for us. And by faith in Him, we feast on His flesh, and we drink His blood, and we consume the sacrifice. And our God accepts us because of who the Lord is and because of what He has accomplished for us. That by that one offering of Himself, the Word of God tells us that He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so we see here that those who were sanctified in the Old Testament by blood redemption, by the blood of a lamb, they point us to those whom God has sanctified through that one offering of His darling Son. Christ was set apart and sanctified by God before the world was, as His firstborn. And listen, as God's firstborn, our Lord took an oath to redeem His people from all of their sin, and that's just what He did. He redeemed us, brethren. He bought us back, and as a result, we belong to Him. And so we are called the church of the firstborn. We read that in Hebrews 12 and verse 23. Now that's just a brief summary of what we considered when we last looked at Exodus chapter 13. And picking up where we left off in verse 17, look at verse 17. There we read these words, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." It says that they went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now let's consider what all this means. First of all, it says here, "And it came to pass." Now, we know that nothing ever comes to pass apart from the purpose of Almighty God.
Amen.
Our God does all things according to the counsel of His own will. And absolutely all things are in His sovereign hands to do with as He pleases. And so, when it says here, "And it came to pass," we know that it came to pass as God ordained it. And it could not have happened in any other way. It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." And so again, all this came to pass according to His will. It says God led them, brethren, and not through the way that would have been much shorter. It says God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Do you know that it would have only taken about a week or two for those Israelites to go from the outskirts of Egypt to Canaan if they'd just gone straight through the land of the Philistines? It would only take a week or two. But God led them another way. God in His wisdom led them in the way that He wanted them to go. And it says here, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt, lest they become afraid of war with the Philistines, and they turn back to Egypt." God had mercy on them at this point in time. Now, this is important. I've got to stress this. If God had intended them to go through the land of the Philistines, that's where they would have went.
Yes.
And it's not as though God didn't have the power to give them victory over the Philistines. He could have easily done that. When He brought them out of Egypt, He left that place a waste. God could have given them the power to destroy the Philistines right then and there, but that was not His purpose. They could not have gone any other way than the way that God led them. Our God is sovereign. But God in His mercy led them that the way that they should go for His own name's sake. Just like David said in Psalm 23. Do you remember? He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or in other words, "I shall not lack anything." He said, the Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Yes.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Mm-hmm. And David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." And He also said this, He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And then He said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now that's true saving faith. And brethren, listen, our good shepherd will lead us all the way. These Israelites were led by our God, and they were kept and preserved for His own name's sake. And as long as He led them and kept them and preserved them, nothing could harm them. And so it is, brethren, with those who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. No weapon formed against us can ever prosper. And God in His mercy sometimes allows us a time of rest, even in the midst of our struggles with sin and in the troubles that we face in this fallen world. Thank God when He is pleased to allow us a time of rest. These Israelites would eventually have to face their enemies in battle one day, but not at this point in time. It was not God's purpose for them to fight the Philistines at this time. And so God led them not through the land of the Philistines, but another way. And did you catch what that was? Look again at verse 18. It says, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." And you know what happened at the Red Sea. And Lord willing, we'll see that later on in our studies in chapter 14. But God had a purpose for leading them there. And our great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows just exactly what His people need, doesn't He?
Amen.
He knows just what we need at any given time, and He always gives us just what we need. And listen, our great shepherd always leads us in the right way.
Yes.
He doesn't ever mislead us. And we ought to trust him and to lead us, knowing that he's too wise to ever make a mistake. Our Lord does bring difficult trials our way, but he also prepares us to face those trials. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he gives us smaller trials to prepare us for larger trials. Have you experienced that?
Yes.
He doesn't give us a trial without giving us grace to come out of that trial. And so sometimes he allows us some rest from difficulties. And aren't you thankful? We do have some times when things are going well. And there are times when our troubles are relatively few. And we're thankful for that. Or at least we should be. And so the Israelites were spared at this time from engaging in battle with the Philistines. But God was preparing them for another trial, which would come very shortly. And so it says here again in verse 18, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." Now, what does that mean? Well, the word harnessed here has to do with preparation for battle, and it means to have soldiers in ranks, and specifically to have five in a rank. And the idea is that these ranks would be marching together. These Israelites were led by God out of the land of Egypt like an army. God led them out. And it's God who would keep them and who would fight for them and would give them the victory. And listen, God's purpose in leading them through the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea was to teach them that he was their strength in battle and that he was their shield and their mighty fortress. The church of God in this world is like an army, but the victory is not won by us. Our Lord Jesus Christ already won the victory when he gave his life for us and he rose again. Our task is to publish and to proclaim that the Lord Jesus Christ has won the victory. When he shed his blood and died and redeemed us, he bought back his people from their bondage to sin. And he has obtained our eternal redemption by that one offering of himself as the sinner's substitute. And all those whom he died for must and shall be called out of darkness. Our Lord will not allow those for whom he died to remain in that darkness of sinful unbelief, like our brother John brought out in his devotional this morning. Our Lord will call us out of that state of darkness we were in, and he will give us faith to believe on him. And believing on him, we will forsake ourselves and our so-called righteousness, and we will trust in him and him alone for our acceptance with God.
Amen.
And when God brought those Israelites out of their bondage, he brought them out in ranks like an army. But what that points to is the victory that God gives his people. We are soldiers for Christ, and he gives us the victory. Our Lord said this to the Apostle Peter when he confessed that our Lord was the Son of God. Our Lord said, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Upon Christ himself, who is the Rock of Ages. And upon that confession that Christ is the Son of God, our Lord builds his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what our Lord said. And listen, gates are not weapons of offense. They're built to defend something, right, brother?
Yeah.
So what the Lord is saying is that we are to storm the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us because he fights for us. We're to go out into the world and preach the gospel, are we not?
Yes.
Isn't that what our Lord commanded us? And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. That is the promise of our Lord himself. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, our Lord knows our frame, and he knows that we're dust, and he knows our faith is small. And so our Lord proves us out in the wilderness, so to speak, just as he did for those Israelites. It took 40 years for that nation of Israel to get to Canaan. And even though it was just a short distance away. But look at this. I want to show you something. Let's leave Exodus and turn over to the Psalms. And let me show you in Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, it says this of God, that he led the Israelites by the right way. The right way. In Psalm 107. If you're with me in Psalm 107. Look here at verse 1. Beginning in verse 1, we read, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever."
Yeah.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Now, this, of course, is speaking of all of God's people. Spiritually speaking, this refers to all of God's people. But it refers to those Israelites in the wilderness who are on their way to inherit the promised land. And continuing on in verse 5, it says here, "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Now watch what it says here. This is so good. "And he led them forth by the right way."
Yes, sir.
"And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." And it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Doesn't it fill your soul with praise to our God, knowing that he always leads us by the right way? He always leads his people in the way we should go. And what distinguishing grace. All those Egyptians perished because they went their own way. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he gave him exactly what his heart desired, and he went his own way. And the word of God tells us that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And listen, all those Egyptians and Pharaoh and his armies, they were left to themselves and to what they thought was right. Our God did not enlighten their minds to the truth, and they got what they deserved when our Lord destroyed them. And listen, we all deserve nothing but wrath for what we have done. And so we need Christ. We need the blood of Christ. Unless we are washed in the blood of God's Lamb, we must be condemned just like those Egyptians. There is no other way for God to be just and justify sinners.
No, sir.
We must have Christ, and we must have that blood of God's Son, the only sacrifice that he will accept, sprinkled on our conscience by the Holy Spirit, or we really have no hope. What good did it do for all those Egyptians? You know, they were very religious. They worshiped a lot of things. But what good did it do all those Egyptians to put all their hope and their trust in their gods? They worshiped the river Nile. God turned that river into blood. They worshiped the land they walked on. God turned it into a plague of flies. God caused the very things that they worshiped to be the means of their destruction.
Yes, sir.
This is the God we worship. So what good did it do for those Egyptians to put all their hope and trust in their gods? What hope did they have against the true and living God when he came in his wrath and punished them for their sin? What good would it do for us to worship a Jesus who can't save anybody? It would do us no good whatsoever. And so we should just stand in awe if the Lord has delivered us and given us faith.
Amen.
If God in his grace has enlightened our minds and has given us faith and caused us to see that he is in sovereign control of all things and that his darling Son is our only hope, if he's given us faith to believe on his Son and to cast all our hopes and cares on him, then we're just blessed beyond words.
Amen.
Blessed beyond words. Thank God that he leads us, his people, by the right way. The right way. It says here in verse 7, "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Our Lord led those Israelites by the right way, so that in due time they would be prepared to engage in battle with their enemies and take the promised land. But first he had to show them that all of their strength and all of their might is in the Lord himself. Now let me show you that. Turn over to Deuteronomy, and we'll close with this. Turn over to Deuteronomy, and let's look at Deuteronomy in chapter 8, if you would please. And here we're told why the Lord led them through the wilderness. And this just blessed me, and I hope that it blesses you too. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 1. And this is Moses speaking on behalf of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8. In verse 1 he says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." Now watch this. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And so there you have it. This was the reason, the purpose, for leading them through the wilderness for those 40 years, that he might humble them and prove them, and that he would make them to know that man does not live on bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord saw to it that all of their needs were taken care of. Look here at verse 4. It says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. The Lord made sure that they had clothing on their backs and shoes on their feet, even in the wilderness. I don't even know how the Lord did that. They were out in the wilderness, yet they always had their clothing never wore out, and they always had shoes on their feet. Our Lord can do anything, and he took care of their needs. And read on in verse 5, it says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Our Lord did this to chasten them. And it says in verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, that thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Our Lord is bringing us into the promised land.
Yes, sir.
And so this was the purpose of God in leading them through the wilderness, that he might humble them, and that he might prove them, and that he might bless them. And this is why God leads us through the wilderness. Now, it's important to point out that this is a covenant of works. And it was about physical things. And it was conditioned on whether the Israelites would obey his commandments. And they failed. And they fell in the wilderness. And if we had been in their place, we would have failed too.
Yes, right.
But the eternal covenant of grace is different than that old covenant of works, isn't it? That eternal covenant of grace is conditioned on what Christ would do, not on what we would do.
Amen.
The eternal covenant of grace is not like that covenant of works. It's about spiritual things, and it's conditioned on what Christ has done. And so we who are one with the Lord Jesus Christ, we whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began, and who have been redeemed and have been called by God, we will never fall. We might fall 1,000 times in a day, but the Lord always brings us back up. So we will never finally fall. Our Lord Jesus Christ will keep us from falling. Isn't that what the Word of God says? He will present us faultless before his throne. We read that in Jude 24 and 25. Just listen to this, brethren, and believe this. Listen to this and believe it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That's the God that we worship. God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. That's the God that we worship, is it not? And so in closing, let me encourage you. My brothers and my sisters, this wilderness journey that our Lord is leading us on, it seems long. It seems long. But in just a little while, he will take us home, where we will spend all of eternity with him. And in the meantime, our Lord is working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
So be encouraged, brethren. The one who redeemed us has also called us and will also be with us every step of the way throughout this wilderness journey. And the constant assault of the world and the flesh and the devil against us will soon be over.
Yes,
it will soon be over. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to proclaim that to you right now. It will soon be over. That's what the Word of God tells us. And Just like we read over in Deuteronomy, then will we bless him for all of the good that he has given us when we're with him in glory. Now, whatever it is that you're going through now, and I know it can be painful, I know it is painful, but whatever it is that you're going through now, no matter how painful, if you are in Christ, if you have been given the faith to believe on Christ and to rest the full weight of your hope on Christ and him alone for all your salvation, then you have it all. If you have Christ, then you have it all.
Amen.
Now, next week, Lord willing, our brother John Reeves is going to bring the Sunday school lesson, and I'll have the honor of bringing the morning message. But when we come back to our studies in Exodus, if the Lord doesn't come back before then, if he doesn't bring us home before then, we just don't know. He might do that. But Lord willing, when we come back to this, we're going to see how the Lord surrounded his people with a cloud and a pillar of fire. And Lord willing, we'll see how it all points to Christ, who is both the cloud and the pillar of fire, who guards and protects us and defends us all along the way on this wilderness journey. Well, I hope the Lord will bless this lesson to us and to cause us to trust in him for absolutely all things. And may it all be for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.